Hello, Marvelites! You are listening to This Week in Marvel, episode number 515, and I'm Ryan Panagos, a.k.a. Agent M.
And I'm Agent of Chaos and Fun, Lorraine Sink!
This is true. You came in hot on the recording today, making fun of me because I've got a shirt with the cut-off arms on because it's hot and I've been working in the house this morning.
You look a little bit like you're cosplaying, like, I'm blanking on his name, the trucker in the Marvel Universe.
US-1?
US-1!
He wears a jacket.
I know, but under that jacket, I'm sure is a muscle tee.
100%. Definitely is.
But you're wearing like your little Marvel baseball cap and you got your mustache out and you got your little muscle tee on. And it's like a real look.
It is. It is. Look, it's fine.
It's business casual.
Yeah. Trying to get a baby out the door with the baby's grandmother and everything else happening this morning was just like doing the best we can. Lorraine. We are going to get into everything happening this week in Marvel because that's what we do on the show. All the stuff that we're hyped about from games, comics, movies, TV, whatever. There's some friggin' big news to talk about this week.
That was nice. As you guys have probably heard, if you're listening to this on Thursday, this just happened. If you're listening on Friday, this also just happened because it's really, really fresh. Hot off the presses, straight from the PlayStation Showcase for 2021 was a whole heaping helping of Marvel games news. But let's swing into the first one. We've got Marvel Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, it's official. The sequel to the 2018 amazing, wonderful, spectacular game Marvel Spider-Man is coming, and it's coming 2023 exclusively for PlayStation 5. Of course, it continues the Marvel Spider-Man franchise and the stories, the narratives established from the first game and then Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales. You can go and check out the trailer on Marvel's social and site and YouTube. And we get to see our frightening first look at Venom. Lorraine, who voices Venom?
You know I'm very excited because it's Tony Todd, who was the original Candyman, as well as like a million other roles and voices and things. But Candyman, if I say it one more time, he'll appear.
No, don't, please.
Candy is delicious. All right, let's move on.
There's a lot of cool stuff to see in that. Of course, Marvel Spider-Man 2 is developed by Insomniac Games in collaboration with Marvel Games. And you know, that brings us to the second bit of news. Lorraine, what is it?
Marvel's Wolverine. So Marvel's Wolverine is a new game in development for PlayStation 5 by Insomniac Games, the folks who work, as you just heard, on Marvel's Spider-Man games. Oh boy, there is a new trailer. We're not going to call anything out, but like, look for some Easter eggs while you watch it. Go check it out on the Marvel channels. I'm just excited for Wolverine to have a game. I mean, come on.
Yeah. We want y'all to experience all this stuff. There's a couple details. If you can go to the PlayStation blog, you get some more info. But next week, we are going to have on a special guest, Mr. Bill Roseman from Marvel Games. Bill's going to come on the show to talk about some of the details he can share right now about Marvel's Wolverine and Marvel's Spider-Man 2. So stay tuned for that. But that wasn't it from the Sony PlayStation Showcase 2021.
Yeah, we have more info about Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, which is coming in like, I don't know, 15 minutes. Okay, it's coming on October 26th to PlayStation, Xbox, PC platforms and playable via cloud version on Nintendo Switch. But it's coming out so soon. We got to see more about the Grand Unifier, Raker, and the Universal Church of Truth delivering their promise for the universe. Of course, it's going to be up to the Guardians of the Galaxy to stop them from destroying existence as we know it.
Probably.
I mean, we hope. If you play well, if not, maybe not.
Yeah. Lorraine, you know it'd be really fun because they just dropped this new story trailer for Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. It'd be really cool if we call up Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy writer Mary DeMarle to have her back on the show to talk a little bit more about the story and the new stuff we just saw.
Yeah, let's do it. Let me get my twin phone. Beep, bop, boop, bop, bop. Twin phone, ring, ring. Twin phone, ring, ring.
Yes, hi, this is Mary.
Hi, it's Lorraine and Ryan from This Week in Marvel.
Hi, how are you guys?
It's a great day. There's some fun stuff out in the world, specifically for Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. Y'all released a new story trailer. Can you tell us a little bit of what's in the trailer?
Yes. Well, there's a lot in that trailer. It's a lot that's packed in there. And as a story person, I don't like to give anything away. So this is really hard for me. But basically, you are introduced to one of the big bad forces in the storyline. So you get to see the glimpses of the Universal Church of Truth formed by Grand Unifier Raker. So you see him, you see the Guardians confronting him, and you also get glimpses into some of the potential allies who are on the Guardian side there with Cosmo and the World Mind. So it's a lot jammed in there.
I also saw a little hint of llama.
Yes.
What can you tell us about our llama friend? I want to know more.
Let's see. The llama's name is Cammy, and she's someone who kind of accidentally ends up on board the Milano with the crew and is yet another misfit, just like the rest of the team, and has a very strong personality of her own. And eventually will play a very interesting role in the game. But that's
Ooh,
all I want to say.
I like that tease. Is there anything more? Maybe you want to keep it close to the vest. It's totally fine. But we are huge fans of Cosmo here on the show. And I think anyone who exists is a fan of Cosmo because Cosmo rules. But what Cosmo's role or even the World Mind's role is for the little bits we see seems like they're, as you mentioned, allies and giving some advice, some direction to the Guardians. What more can we say?
Well, with Cosmo, we really did our deep dive into the Marvel Universe to see, and we put him in our story. He is the head of security at Nowhere. And as such, his backstory is very similar. He's, you know, a telepathic dog who rules that spaceport with an iron paw. And it's fun seeing him as a part of the group. The Guardians go to him at one point in the story. They go to him seeking some advice or whether like they can just kind of hand off this whole problem that they've discovered. But things don't quite go the way they expect. And Cosmo ends up playing a pretty significant role in the story. I can't say much. But I will say that one of the themes in our story is, of course, family. And Cosmo has a family of his own.
Oh, I have to say that I just love his little Russian voice. It
yes.
brought me so much joy to hear it. IRL.
I will say this. They actually did bring in a dog to mocap the dog. So that was, I think, a day at the studio where the mocap team was having tons of fun to see this. And we've got some really great footage of the dog in the mocap studio. It was also incredibly fun to see the voice actor play Cosmo because he's an actor who really embodies the role that he's in. So he was in there doing all the dog moves, all the dog behaviors. So yeah, I think we have a pretty authentic Cosmo on our side.
Mary, thanks for the quick call. The game is, gosh, it's like 6 weeks out or give or take somewhere around a month and a half out. It's very exciting. Any more teases of what fans can look forward to seeing or learning about next?
You know, I think we have some gameplay trailers that will be released. And when they see the story trailer, I'm super excited for that and really looking forward to all the speculation. It's been tons of fun reading all the speculation, but like, having to keep my lips sealed. So I can say that October 26th is not that far away, but it also feels like it's forever. So
we'll attempt to be patient then. It's only a few weeks to wait and we'll keep all the conspiracy theories coming. Thanks for talking with us, Mary.
No problem. It's been a lot of fun.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, but that's not it. We still got the hits on coming down the line. The Marvel Unlimited app has relaunched today with awesome new content. Of course, if you don't know, we talk about Marvel Unlimited all the time, but it is an award-winning app that lets you read all kinds of comics. And now you're going to be able to experience all new digital comics via Marvel's Infinity Comics, which are available exclusively on Marvel Unlimited.
Yeah, we teased some Marvel Unlimited stuff last week. It's something that the teams behind the scenes at Marvel, so many departments have been working really, really hard on. It's very exciting. There's multiple parts to this with the new app getting supercharged and a lot of cool features and things like that. Now there's like over 29,000 digital comics in the app, but Marvel's Infinity Comics, super cool. These are in-universe stories. These are some amazing creators, and it's a different format. It's a vertical format designed specifically for your device. Whatever device you're reading it on, you'll be able to experience it in a really cool way. We are going to have some amazing folks joining us in a second, but one of the wild things is in the launch of the new Marvel Unlimited and with Infinity Comics, we have 27 Infinity Comics already in the app right now, and then over 100 issues planned for release by the end of the year, with multiple issues coming every week for y'all to check out, which is really, really cool. Can we run down some of these issues, Lorraine?
Yeah, we can. There are a whole heaping helping. I think, obviously, we got to talk about It's Jeff. Jeff the Landshark is going to have an awesome comic. If you don't know Jeff the Landshark, he's a cute bitey baby. Gwynpool's little bitey shark baby. He's so snuggly and bitey.
It is adorable. Very protective.
He's so cute. But there are going to just be so many awesome stories to check out. Giant Size Little Marvels, X-Men Unlimited, Captain America, Shang-Chi, Black Widow, Amazing Fantasy Prelude. There are so many titles. As Ryan said, 27 new titles to read the day you open the app.
Yeah. And with X-Men Unlimited, we're getting a story by Jonathan Hickman, who has sort of been the main architect of the X-Men comics, and Declan Shalvey, who is a ding dang delight. We love Deck on the show. It's Jeff is going to be by Kelly Thompson and Gurihiro, who we are also huge fans of them as well. I think we may even hear a little bit from Kelly in a second. The Giant Size Little Marvels, you're getting Scotty Young to come through and do some wonderful stuff alongside Dax Gordon. That's going to be adorable and fun. I can't wait to actually read that one alongside Catherine Grace. I think she's going to really, really dig that. But there, yeah, like you said, with Captain America, a brand new four-part Shang-Chi Infinity comic that is available completely. That first arc is just there right now for everybody to read. And it's dope. It's dope, 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 dope. The full list is huge. You can see it on Marvel.com. There's a ton of these this week. There's a ton more to come. Like we said, 100 by the end of the year. And so we did want to bring on two more people on this episode to help us talk through the Marvel Unlimited relaunch, especially these Infinity comics. So Lorraine, what do you think if we call, I'm sure they're just hanging out in the same place as they do, Marvel VP Head of Content, Stephen Wacker, and It's Jeff, writer Kelly Thompson.
Yeah, sure. Here we go. Let me dial him up on the twin phone. Beep up, boop up, beep up, boop, boop, boop. Ring, ring. Stephen Kelly's phone. Ring, ring. They share phone line. Ring, ring, ring.
Hello? Ring. Hello?
Steve, did we wake you?
Oh, hey, guys. Kelly. Kelly.
I'm here, Steve.
Are you guys okay? What happened?
We're roommates now, and... We were up late because of some noisy neighbors. Hickman lives upstairs.
Yeah, the pandemic has been hard on us all, folks.
This is a nightmare neighborhood.
I have to live with Wacker now, and Hickman's nearby. What a nightmare.
Wait, do all the comic creators now live in a single building all together?
God, I can't decide if that would be paradise or just pure hell.
I can. I
think a little bit of both. I know what you think. We know what you think.
And Steve's the landlord.
He's the Mr. Roper.
I would watch that horrible TV show.
Lots of great references here for all the kids listening to the show. But we're very excited. It is launch week for Marvel's Infinity Comics. And Kelly, you are the writer of It's Jeff, which, and I can't say exactly what I sent to you over DM after I read the first four issues, but it was blank, blank, blank. There is nothing more pure and good in this world than It's Jeff. Well done.
Thank you. I feel like it's my slightly delayed, here's the one thing we can hold on to in the darkest timeline.
He is truly what we all need in this world right now. For anyone who's not familiar with Jeff the Landshark, can you talk a little bit about our favorite bitey baby?
I can. So Daniele Di Nicolo, maybe is how you pronounce it. I'm terrible at this kind of thing. As comic book writers, we only have to read things. So, you know, I never know anybody's name. But he's a fantastic artist that came in after Stefano Caselli on West Coast Avengers. And that's where Jeff was created. He is a creation of Brodok, which is sort of like being created by MODOK, but slightly cooler. Slightly grosser, maybe, and has more suntan lotion involved. He's basically a land shark that was sort of the runt of the litter, like a sort of failed land shark. Brodok set these things onto Los Angeles, Venice Beach, and the West Coast Avengers took care of it. But in the process, Gwenpool ended up adopting Jeff the Land Shark, who was sort of abandoned. He's not actually a baby. He's full size, but he's sort of like a baby because he's so damn cute. that's really the prevailing thread of the comics is, oh my God, he's so cute. Also, he's a damn shark. So, you know, he can mess you up if he wants to. And Gwenpool handed him over to Deadpool, which was really fun. He got to have this adventure in the Deadpool world. And now here's where he's popping up next.
So he first appears in West Coast Avengers 7-ish, 6-ish?
I mean, his technical debut is 7.
And then, I mean, was it instant fan reaction?
Oh, yeah. People love them. But people love the Landsharks in issue 1. And the idea for Jeff actually came from Stefano Caselli designed these incredible Braddock Landsharks. And one of them in the background of the scene where they're attacking everyone looked really concerned to me, like he didn't want to be there. And that was sort of the inspiration for Jeff, was this very concerned background land shark. And I was like, what if someone's not so happy to be created by Braddock and sicked on a city? And so that plus my cats is sort of the inspiration for Jeff. And people freaked out, man. They loved him. He's everywhere. He's probably the thing I get asked about the most from people, despite writing 30 plus issues of Captain Marvel.
Steve, how long have the Infinity Comics been in development?
So we started working on this about a year and a half ago or so. Obviously, very influenced by these comics that have been incredibly successful in Korea and Japan, that sort of vertical scrolling format. I was tasked, along with Harry Goh and my team, to sort of help build a scaffolding where we could create a bunch of these using Marvel's sort of overall editorial structure. So worked with the editorial team, including C.B. Cebulski and Jordan with the X-Men and Brevoort, Nick Lowe, every editor over there, Lana Smith, to sort of figure out how we could start making these and fit them into our larger editorial world. As part of that, I needed to sort of create a couple of these myself to figure out how they get made. So I, of course, thought of a bunch of other creators who were busy, and then I remembered Kelly.
Oh, wow. Ouch.
Kelly, didn't I call Steve a jackhole on our conversation? And here he is.
All I was hearing about was Kelly Thompson's busy, and I was stunned and surprised and delighted. It was one of those emails I threw out expecting a no, but happenstance happened, and thankfully she jumped right at the idea of doing Jeff, because I think she had been pitching, like, we need to do more Jeff. Kelly knew what the fans wanted, but for whatever reason, couldn't get it through our editorial.
I just think nobody was going to give me another book right then. I was pretty busy, but I knew that, you know, losing Deadpool was so painful, and I wanted to sort of take Jeff with me if they were going to pivot to a new concept. I didn't want him to get sort of lost in the shuffle, especially because the way we integrated him into the Deadpool book, I thought was so clever, which was Gwenpool bringing Jeff to Deadpool and going, you know, sort of breaking the fourth wall and going, listen, I'm not always going to have a book. I need him to be safe. You've always got a book, like put him in here. And so I thought that was a really fun wink and a nod to continuity and to keeping him alive. And so, you know, this was a great opportunity to sort of have it both ways. But to be honest, even though I would have wanted to do it no matter what, it was Guri Hiru's involvement that I think Steve at one point said, well, who do you want to draw it? Like, who do you see? And I was like, well, I mean, the dream is Guri Hiru. And he's like, well, that's who we want. And I was like, sold, I'll do a million of them. And I just have to give a shout out to them as well. Because honestly, I think they really helped build the Jeff mystique, because either they love him a lot themselves, which
they do.
I think they do, or someone was telling them, this is a cool character that people are responding to, put him in things, because they secretly stash him all over the place. It's like a Where's Waldo of Jeff, for like, they did these Heroes from Home covers and all this other stuff. And it's like, there's Jeff on a coffee mug. Here's Jeff as a magnet. Here he is as Spider-Man folds his laundry and he's on his t-shirts. And it's so fun. And people got really into finding them. And, you know, so I think they really went a really long way towards helping build up his mystique. They also did an incredibly beautiful piece for an expo, I think in Japan, that had Ms. Marvel, Squirrel Girl, Gwenpool, it had Tippy the squirrel, and it had Jeff on like a little leash. And I see that thing everywhere. People freaked out about it. It's adorable.
Well, we definitely deserve it's Jeff, because that's how I hear it every time anyone says it.
Mission accomplished. Yes. Yes. That was the idea.
It brings me true joy. But I'm interested, what can we expect in addition to these wonderful new comics by Kelly and some of our other creators? What can we expect ahead for this new Marvel Unlimited app, Steve?
Launching with the new Marvel Unlimited, there's the new X-Men Unlimited series by Jonathan Hickman and Declan Shalvey. There's a Black Widow one-shot on launch day. We have a Shang-Chi series launching, and people are going to see a big amount of stories on launch day, but what they might not be understanding is that this is going to continue. The content's going to continue throughout the coming days and weeks. There's a lot of stuff headed your way as we sort of add Infinity Comics to the overall Marvel publishing plan that CB and the editorial team have created. I think it was important for us to make sure people understood that there's a big audience for comics in this format, and we need to make sure that we're telling stories that also resonate with the current Marvel readership and our ongoing continuity that happens from week to week. So in terms of what fans' expectations are, they're going to see a lot of stories that quote-unquote count and stories that weave between the scenes of our larger Marvel continuity, plus some stuff that, quite frankly, is just great comics like Jeff, like Giant Size Little Marvel.
Yeah, we're a little lucky, and I would assume Scotty's littles probably are too, in that you get to exist in sort of a slightly smaller space that's not as regulated. You know, Jeff is just off having whatever adventure. We throw whatever characters we want in there with him. He connects with a lot of Marvel characters through his adventures. I mean, I would like to see him take down Thanos and save the world. Like, I'm not saying that's a no, but, you know.
As you started to talk, I started to think, boy, we really should do a story that ties into something and see what Jeff's up to during the Reckoning War.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of really fun stuff you can do with him. I mean, part of the sort of idea of him, other than the, oh, he's an adorable, adorable creature that, oh, he's also a shark that can bite you, is, you know, we talk about Marvel pets all the time, and that's fun. But, you know, he's not really a pet. He's got more agency and intelligence than that, that he can kind of run his own thing. But, you know, he also, like, sleeps in a dog bed sometimes. So it's like you get to play with a lot of these sort of gray area things. And I think Gurihiro were the perfect fit for that. And so it feels just as important to me on like a laundry day mix-up as it does him doing something serious. So we were lucky in that regard, in that we just sort of do whatever we want. But it's nice to know that there's a mix in what's coming out.
I think if we get a second season, so to speak, you'll find the stories become a lot darker.
For Jeff or for all of them?
For Jeff.
Is really? It Jeff Noir or?
Kelly, I'm trying to remember. There is romance in Jeff's life. There was this other creature, and I'm spacing on the name. Somebody fell in love with Jeff.
Well, everybody, I think you mean. Everyone. All the people that are smart. I don't know. And maybe someone wrote something else that I'm not aware of. Jeff sort of fell in love with a giant shrimp when he went to a shrimp world. But I think he just wanted to eat it.
And talk about how that's a reflection of what you've experienced with shrimp.
I want to eat all the shrimp.
As do I.
I'd like to live in shrimp world. Let's go there.
This is beautiful. This is wonderful. Thank you both for coming on the show to talk about our sweet little land shark friend and Marvel Unlimited. Kelly, before we let you go, what else are you working on? I know I yell at you every now and then about how friggin' great your comics are and how sad they make me or how happy they make me, but please tell our fans.
Yeah, I made Jeff just to make you happy after I made you sad with Black Widow. See, that's how it works. Black Widow, I'm still writing Black Widow. I'm having a great time, although I'm struggling with the current issue, send help. I'm having an incredible time with Elena Casagrande and Rafael de la Tour and Jordi Belair. It's incredible. We won an Eisner for that. It's amazing. I never even imagined that. It's crazy. But it's a great book, and I hope people pick it up. We're still doing Captain Marvel, going strong. I'm writing issue 35 now. I think 33 is the next one that comes out. It's a dark Marvel storyline, very fun. And then I'm part of the Amazing Spider-Man Beyond team. That starts coming out in October. So lots of cool stuff coming. Working on Spider-Man, I don't want to say it's been really easy, but because I'm part of a writer's room, a lot of the stuff that I'm not particularly good at or don't enjoy, like plotting long arcs, a lot of that's done for you. And this should be my new thing. Let's put a team on everything and just assign me a couple issues to write, because it's been really fun. It's been really
fun. I like that you don't like plotting long arcs, yet you are a sequential storyteller. Like long arcs, and you're freaking great.
Thank you. Well, you always got to find something you don't like. Jeff has been really fun because, as I think Lorraine sort of alluded to, is it really doesn't have any dialogue. There's occasionally a line from a human person or a sound from Jeff. We've got sound effects and stuff. We have a couple pictorial balloons where you're thinking something in a picture. You know, Jeff doesn't speak. And I showed my little nephews one of the Jeff comics and asked them, they're like, well, there are no words, so how did you write it? And I was very proud of my nephew Zach, who was like, I was like, well, what do you think I did? And he's like, oh, you came up with the idea, you told him what to draw. And I was very impressed that he was able to figure that out, because I know a lot of grown adults who would have trouble figuring that out if there's no dialogue. But I think everyone will agree when they get in there and start reading it that Guri Hiru are the real stars next to Jeff. I expect to see those images of him everywhere, because boy, are they cute.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait to see the world devour Jeff as he devours the world. Thank you so much for talking with us. You know, if you see any creators in the hallways, tell them we said hi. Enjoy your roommate situation at your apartment. We'll catch you later. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Big thanks to Steve Wacker and Kelly Thompson. Again, you can go check out all the 27 Infinity comics that are available in Marvel Unlimited today. If you are not a Marvel Unlimited subscriber, get up on it. Go to marvel.com/unlimited. Download the app. The terms and conditions apply as you do your subscriptions, and it is friggin' worth it, as you'll see. We get into some of our comments from the community a little bit later in the show.
Yeah. But we also have comics coming out to retailers near you, your local comic shops, your Marvel Comics app. Last week, we heard about the new tentpole comic series that are going to come later this year and early next year. And this week, we're starting to get some new details on those. So we have Devil's Reign, which is going to be a classic style Marvel Comics crossover event, really tying into some of your favorite ongoing titles and really ushering in this exciting new crossover series. So I love Chip Zdarsky. I love Marco Cicchetto. They're phenomenal. They will be working on this series. I love what Chip has done with Daredevil. I'm excited to see this crossover event take place in his hands. I also like that we have some promises of Kingpin in the Shadows. It's going to be coming this December. And also announced this week was Elektra Black, White, and Blood number one. So also keep an eye out for that.
And just stay tuned for more. Big series coming. And if you follow any of the creators on social media, especially Dan Slott has been talking a little bit about Reckoning War that's coming to Fantastic Four, a bunch of other things. So comics are pretty cool. And speaking of comics, Lorraine, our pal Preeti Chibber is a guest of mine this week on Marvel's Pull List podcast. We talk about Nightcrawler by Chris Claremont and Todd Knock. And Preeti has a couple of middle grade novels that she's writing for Marvel, which are really, really fun, really, really cute. So it was a lot of fun to have her on that show. And our picks of the week for the show were Defenders number 2, which, Lorraine, I think you got to read this issue because the title of the story for this issue is Galactus's Mom Has Got It Going On. And it literally is about Galactus's, like, ready to rock mom. And she's awesome.
Love
Kazar, Lord of the Savage Line number 1 and Savage Avengers number 24 are the picks there. You can listen to Marvel's Pull List. Get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Do it. Also, if you're not caught up, go make sure that you check out this week's episode of Marvel Studios' What If. We've got Marvel Zombies, baby!
Oh, yeah.
This episode is very scary, and it has some, like, fun sort of horror moments, you know, kind of woven into it, but also super funny and charming.
Yeah, which I think is the great line that they walk with all of these episodes. Even the scary Doctor Strange episode, which had a really bunch of, like, gnarly stuff in it, which I loved. It had some great, cute fun moments in it, like little bits and pieces. It's great. It's what they do. I actually had like friends texting me like, are we going to get more zombies? I love that. I want more zombies. I was like, I want more of everything. Give me a full series from every episode of Marvel Studios What If, and I will be happy.
I also love that they really leaned into like a sassier Bucky for this one.
Oh, yeah.
Which was chef's kiss. Of course, go watch Marvel Studios What If, now streaming only on Disney Plus. And I hope everybody by now has watched Marvel Studios Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings, but no shade. There's plenty of time to go see it in theaters. But there is a really great article, if you have seen it, over on Marvel.com about the end credit scene with some insight from some of the actors and creative team on said end credit scene. And I know that we love to think about it and theorize about it and talk about it. So go check out that article over on Marvel.com if you've seen the movie. If not, be patient. Go watch the film and enjoy it. Man, I love this movie. It's just so fun. And it's honestly been so fun this week to watch people watch it. I just really enjoy seeing people's reactions to seeing that movie. And I have two friends and they are obsessed with movies. They see movies several times a week in theaters. They are the most hardcore movie fans I know, even more so than some people I know who work in film. And they were like, that was the best movie. It was so fun. I loved it, everything about it. And that just truly, I was like, if my film friend snobs are obsessed with it, that makes me feel right. So of course, get your butt over to a theater and then report back and let us know what you thought, because it's my favorite.
Elizabeth and I went to see it on Thursday night, one of the first showings. Went to our local Alamo Drafthouse. But being in a theater again with a crowd who was so excited, and there was cheer, there was clapping, and there was cheering and laughter and excitement. I gave away a bunch of Shang-Chi Marvel Legends toys and some comics to some kids that were there. And it was a really wonderful experience. I'm glad that I was able to be there. And one of the things I think everybody really dug was all the music in Marvel Studios Shang-Chi and Legend of the Ten Rings. And now there's a bunch of music that everybody can listen to. Marvel Music and Hollywood Records and Interscope Records have released the Marvel Studios Shang-Chi and Legend of the Ten Rings soundtrack. It's really dang good. It's executive produced by the music collective 88 Rising.
They're so cool because they are really a leading music platform for Asian and Asian American artists from across the world. So there's just like a really global, heavily Asian influenced, and a lot of Asian artists that are on this soundtrack, which I think is really awesome. And also it flippin' slaps. I listened to it all morning yesterday and it just brought me great joy. You can listen to it wherever you get your music.
The collective worked closely with the film's director, Destin Daniel Cretton, to make the music a core part of the film. And I think it really, really works well.
Well, we're not done talking about Marvel Studios Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, because we have Florian Muntianu, Mr. Razorfist. Some folks call him Big Nasty. Ryan calls him his best friend.
Yeah, we are now officially best friends, and he's wonderful. We talked about his love for the Hulk, doing his own stunts, being an actual boxer and fighter, and of course, working closely with director Destin Daniel Cretton on his character. It's really, really cool, so check it out right now. What is your Marvel origin story? Did you know the Marvel Universe growing up in Romania? What was your first connection to the Marvel characters?
My first connection to the Marvel characters was the Hulk, because I had an action figure. I think I was 5 or 6. And we had like the Hulk series, like a series for kids. And I always was allowed to watch that from my parents. I always had like 30 minutes per day where I could watch some TV, and I always watched that series. So Hulk plays a huge role in my life, because I always wanted to be like him when, you know, I played on the playground with my friends. And then I think the first movie that I saw was Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire. And since then, you know, I always wanted to be a superhero and wanted to be part of the MCU. And now it's happened.
It's amazing. Yeah, my daughter, she's almost 2 years old, and she knows Spider-Man and she knows Hulk. And she has this little plush Hulk. And I say, what is Hulk? And she says, big. And she puts her arms up like this. It's great. It's like the character is so, just connects with so many people. I mean, obviously you're giant strongman dude, it's amazing.
I'm pretty sure that the Hulk inspired me to, you know, become big and training and fighting. So he plays a big part in my life.
I love that. So let's talk about getting to be a part of Marvel Studios' Shang-Chi. How did you like get to be a part of the film? And then how did you feel about joining the MCU as, in my mind, a really cool character? He's weird and fun. And I was like, oh, Razor Fist, because I didn't know he was in the movie. I got so excited when I saw you pop up.
Well, yeah, you know, like after my entry in the industry with Creed, it was about me and my team. We had to decide, okay, where do we want to go next? And then we were signing for something else. And my long-term dream was at some point eventually to get into the MCU. But in my head, I was like, okay, I would probably need a couple more movies to get more attention, you know, to get Kevin Feige's and Jonathan Schwartz's attention or any director's attention from the MCU. But then everything happened so quick, you know, the audition came along. I immediately realized by reading the audition that it was for Shang-Chi, even though they haven't said anything about it. And like I said, yeah, everything went so quick. After a couple of weeks, I got a phone call from my agents and they were like, hey, Marvel wants to talk to you. And I was like, hell yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I love hearing those like phone call stories, especially for someone who grew up loving the Marvel characters and knowing the MCU and like having that connection, that sense of excitement and joy. You probably got so pumped. Did you hit a PR that day when you were working out? Like, yeah, I got to get bigger, get stronger for this role.
Oh, for sure. I mean, at that point, so many things went through my head. Like, you have to imagine there were always two dreams in my head once I decided to go into this direction with the film industry, which I picked up probably in 2013 or 14. Me, with my boxing and fighting background, the Rocky franchise means a lot. That being said, with Creed being my first movie, is just incredible. And then the second one is actually the MCU, which means probably even more to me. Every kid dreams to be a superhero. And I'm part of this. And those are basically my two biggest dreams. And they became reality with my two first movies. It's unbelievable. And I'm very thankful for that opportunity. And I keep on going and, you know, work hard for this. And hopefully we will see more of Razor Fist in the MCU, which I'm pretty sure we will.
I hope so. Congratulations, though. Like, just hearing you talk about it that way, that's awesome, dude. Tell me a little bit more about working with Destin, you know, the director of the film, and what his vision is, especially for the character and the action sequences, too.
Well, you know, me and Destin, we obviously have a connection because, you know, before Shang-Chi, he did Just Mercy with Michael B. Jordan. Obviously, my relationship with Michael is amazing. We're friends since Creed. So I think that also played into it, you know, me getting the role maybe, because Destin was asking Michael about me. And once you hear good stuff about a person, it's easier to, you know, connect with that person. And with that being said, I feel like Destin is very chilled and he gives you a feeling that kind of takes the pressure away from you. He always gives you the feeling that you can relax and that you can be yourself. And I really appreciated that because, you know, movie sets are very hectic. Everyone is under pressure. Sometimes it's not easy to not lose yourself in that hectic. And that's why he is such a good director. I mean, he's basically always in control, but not with, you know, imposing himself, but just being him. With his relaxed attitude. So I was happy and thankful to work with him. He definitely made me a better actor.
That's awesome. I love the idea of hearing good stuff about you from Michael B. Jordan to Destin and those connections. It's a lot of that people don't always understand, I think, is like, you got to be good, you got to be kind, you got to work hard, and that transfers onto other people. And a lot of opportunities come up in our lives because of the way we comport ourselves and the way we work with others. And so being kind and smart and hardworking can pay off. Your testament to that.
100%.
I want to talk a little bit about your nickname, Big Nasty. I love it. We were excited. I'm glad I could bring it up. Now, better name, Razor Fist or Big Nasty?
Oh, can't ask me a question like that. But since we're talking about Shang-Chi and the movie is about to come out, how can I not say Razor Fist? obviously. Razor Fist is a damn cool name. I mean, have you seen the logo on the car?
Yes. Great. The rules. But I mean, also, Razor Fist is pretty big and nasty too in his own ways. So
sure that. So the connection was definitely there. It was pretty easy for me to do.
Let's talk about you a little bit. How did you first get into bodybuilding and boxing and just, you know, the fight style of things?
Well, my father was a huge boxer himself and a huge boxing fan. So boxing was basically, you know, my first love, so to say. I saw him training. My father is not only my best friend, but also a role model to me. I have a very good relationship with my parents and I was always inspired by him. So once I saw him training, hitting the boxing bag, going running, stuff like that, I always backed him to take me with him. My mother was always against that he takes me with him to the gym, because she knew once I would see, you know, all these people hitting each other at the bags and everything, she knew that I would fall in love with the sport. And you know how mothers are, they always want to protect their children, but it was inevitable, you know. And my father always was waking me up watching, you know, pay-per-views of Roy Jones, Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield, Riddick Bowe, watching all those fights. And I was like 8, 9, 10 years old. So boxing is a big part of my life since I can think. And then at some point, because boxing is still training, you know, and then at some point, weights and the gym and weightlifting comes into your life because you want to gain more power. So that's basically the whole road. And I never stopped with training, you know. Training and boxing and, you know, weightlifting is like food to me.
I like the idea of little kid you, like learning to box and do and mimicking your dad. Let's talk a little bit about fight scenes and stuff and some characters who don't necessarily seem like they can really take people on. Obviously, that big fight sequence in the bus in Shang-Chi. Chang just has a wild time of that one. Were you able to do any of the stunt work in there, the fighting? How did that come together in terms of choreography and the work that you put into that?
Of course, I'm doing everything by myself. If it comes to fighting, I don't want to sound arrogant, but you know, I have that background. I am trained since I'm a little kid. And trust me, one thing, it's very hard these days, you know, to find a big guy who can still move and is elusive, because usually all that weightlifting, and if you get too much into bodybuilding, it makes you very stiff. So you can't move anymore. And once you get stiff, you cannot deliver those fight scenes anymore, because you need to have a big range and actually turn huge from one side to the other side and be quick on your feet, you know, because even if it's fighting in a movie, it's still fighting. You only have to control the distance and be able not to hit them. That's the only difference. But other than that, it's basically all the same. And yeah, I did all my fight scenes by myself. I had no stunt double. And I think this is also one reason why I got the part, because they knew what I can bring to the table in terms of fighting. And the bus scene itself was very tough, because the space of the bus was so tight. I'm a tall, big guy. It was not easy to move there with all the poles, and I was hitting my head 1,000 times, not to talk about my hands. But I think in the end, it was worth it. I feel like, you know, when I first saw the movie and the bus scene, I was just proud, you know. Once you put in so much work, and we were actually filming in Australia for almost 7 months, and then you see the result on the big screen, and all the literally the blood, sweat, and tears that we shed there, I was just happy, thankful, and proud. I think we delivered something really big there.
100%. I was cheering at that scene. It's interesting, because you're a trained fighter and you know how to throw a punch, know how to move, know how to read an opponent. Does that make it difficult to change the way you have to do it because of the cameras, because you don't want to injure someone, because you have to, as you say, move in larger ways and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, what is easy for me is, like I said before, to control the distance. I know my reach and I know exactly in what distance and in what reach I have to act to not hit the other person. The biggest difference in this whole thing, you know, fighting in movies and then fighting in real life, is that in movies, you have to make everything big. You have to overextend every single move, every single motion, every single punch. And in real life, it's exactly the opposite. You know, once you overextend, once you lose balance, and once you give up your guard and actually leave your face unprotected, that's basically when your opponent takes advantage of it. But because you're filming a movie and camera angles are the most important in a movie, everything has to be big. Everything has to be overextended. And I remember in the beginning, once 3-4 years ago, when I stepped into the industry, it was super weird for me because I was just not used to it. And it didn't make sense to me from a fighting perspective. But then I saw it on screen, or I saw the pictures, and I realized, okay, no, this actually looks good if I extend that much. So it's a huge difference. But once you get used to it, it all makes sense.
Awesome. Big Nasty, thank you so much for being on This Week in Marvel. We appreciate you. And I've got my fingers crossed. I hope one day we get to see Razor Fist stand kind of face-to-face with the Incredible Hulk. You never know.
Hey, you never know. Hey, this was a lot of fun, right?
You know, I think it's so cool getting to see some of these folks that are real fighters in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, getting to see someone like Florian, who's a really accomplished fighter. It just brings such authenticity to these films, which is really awesome. And now you're best friends.
Yeah. Also, Michelle Yeoh can destroy anyone. I'm just putting that out there. Her filmography is just a treasure trove of awesome acting and beating the hell out of bad guys. I love her so much.
Super obsessed. All right, since we had such a big week for games news, I think it's only fitting that we ask a question about said news. So of everything that you got to experience, what are you dying to know more about from Marvel's Spider-Man 2 to Marvel's Wolverine to Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy? What are you dying to know stuff about? What in particular? Let us know. Maybe we'll even find out an answer for you.
We'll try our best. For me, I'm dying for more Wolverine. I love Wolverine. I'm dying for all of it. It's really tough. This is a great question because it's really difficult for me to answer one simple thing. I want to know more about the story. I want to know more about the claw popping business for Wolverine. And I want to know more about the villains. And I want to know more about Venom.
Yeah, I'm also just really excited to play Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, there's not too much I want to get spoiled for me. I just want to experience it. And I want to know more about the story because I love the world building that they've created.
Let us know what you're most excited for and what you most want to know about the new Marvel Games projects. You can tweet your answers using hashtag This Week in Marvel, email them to twimpodcast@marvel.com, or send a message to our Facebook page at facebook.com/This Week in Marvel. Please make sure to tell us it is okay to read on the show.
Yeah, and next week, look out for an interview with our pal Angelique Roche, with the authors of the new book, Black Nerd Problems, William Evans and Omar Holman. That'll be coming around next week, but this week we've got more community going on. We asked you folks, what Marvel comic have you always wanted to read and can now, thanks to Marvel Unlimited?
Yeah, we got a great answer in here from our pal, the Kawaii Prince, at Colin J, who we haven't heard from in a couple weeks. Glad you're still with us, Colin. They say, I have been able to read every Captain Marvel Carol Danvers book because of Marvel Unlimited, amongst many others, and it's a total ding-dang delight.
Heck yeah. I love her old comics. Next up, Karis Pollard at A. Karis Pollard says, what I love about Marvel Unlimited is finding things that I never think of reading and falling in love, often because of a pull list chat, like X-23 would never have picked it up, but it's genius. Also, the ability to search for characters and deep dive on them across series is really fun. Nova and Wiccan are in my search history, but everyone will have their own.
Yeah. Sean Winningham at The Sean Hulk says, because of Marvel Unlimited, I was able to get back into my love of comics that I had when I was a kid. I got it 3 years ago, and now it's led me to share that passion with my son and started a podcast with my best friend about comics. Oh, it's great.
So nice. Miriam Barbarina at My Two Brown Eyes says, I've gotten to read so many great stories thanks to Marvel Unlimited. Among them, God Loves, Man Kills, and House of M. I'm currently reading Sensational She-Hulk and loving it. Next on my list, Secret Invasion. Whew, that's a lot of good comics, but also Sensational She-Hulk. Get back to me because you know that's like one of my all-time faves. So fun.
All bangers. All bangers. So good.
Hits only.
Tony at T. Bizzlesworth says, Planet Hulk was something I loved on Marvel Unlimited. The best part of it is finding things you didn't know about. And he says that I suggested Submariner the Depths to him a while back, and he's told us now that it's one of his favorites. So he says, thank you, MU.
Nice. This next one is a message from Damon Bozer on Facebook, who said, I'm grateful for Marvel Unlimited that I can read every single Spider-Man comic from every decade. Also happy that I can binge read events. Honestly, man, it's so fulfilling to read these like super long runs of comics and to be able to be like, I'm just going to sit down and read 700 issues or whatever.
It friggin' rules. The end. All right. A message from Dustin Radcliffe on Facebook, who says, wanted to share my official review of Marvel Studios Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. Wow. I absolutely loved it. My son and I were mesmerized by all of the fantastic martial arts scenes. It had magic, mysticism, and heart with family at the center of it all. And the culture surrounding the film, OMG. And the amazing cast of characters to bring it home. All in all, we just love going to see it on the big screen as it was meant to be. We managed to snag these awesome posters at our local theater. Welcome to the circus, Shang-Chi. Can't wait for your return. He says, I look forward to getting to reading the Shang-Chi comics. I have a lot of them to read in my Marvel Unlimited library. Every time a new character comes up on my radar, I have to know more about them, be able to understand these characters and every bit of content I can get my hands on. One of the great things about Marvel Unlimited is that I'm able to go back and read every character's origin story and read stories I've wanted to read for some time. My library is ever growing with all of my favorites, and I always look forward to the new comics every week. And also, ultimately, it saves space right now to have all of my comics digitally. Hope you enjoyed the film yourselves. I know I surely can't wait to see it again.
That's such a good point because, you know, when you have limited space, especially like for so long when I was living in the city in a tiny apartment, it is hard to not be buried alive in all of your stuff.
Very, very true.
All right. Moving on, we have an email from David Brewer, which says, Dear Lorraine and Ryan, listening for over a year, first time writing in. Oh, so nice. All right. I love Marvel Unlimited because it allows me to search for titles in the weekly reading list, as well as revisit my favorite issues from my youth. While I have read Marvel Comics since 1970, I have never read any of the Shang-Chi books. And as the film was going to be released, I decided to delve into all the great martial arts action from the issues in the 70s so that I could learn about the beginnings of the title character. This is what makes Marvel Unlimited well worth the cost of the yearly subscription. Because of a time when I had fallen economically on bad times, I was forced to sell off all of my collections of nearly 5,000 books. So Marvel Unlimited at least allows me to go back and still have access to all the great titles I no longer have. Thank you, Ryan and Lorraine, for convincing me what a great value Marvel Unlimited was towards the end of last year. Sincerely, David Brewer. Oh, that's so nice and such a great point because a lot of people, you know I used to do that a lot too, I would get a trade and read it and then I would sell it because I just didn't have space for it. And I was like, well, it lives in my head, you know, but this is a great way to get all your comics that you've lost or damaged or sold along the way.
I sold 42 long boxes at one point of all comics. So my collection is a lot smaller, but I still have access to everything thanks to MU. So I'm with you, David, and I'm glad we have you on board, both as a listener and as an MU subscriber. We have an email from one of our wonderful listeners who wished to remain anonymous. So they said, I can't answer this week's question because I first became interested in Marvel from Thor Ragnarok, and by then, Marvel Unlimited already existed. Instead, I will tell you what comics I have been reading on Marvel Unlimited for the past 2 years. Since 2018, I have been reading every issue on MU, starting with Fantastic Four number 1 in 1961. I am currently in 1980.
Wow.
The podcast is great. I listen every week. Thank you, amazing listener. That is an incredible endeavor. It starts out pretty easy, right? Like 1961, you know, there's only a comic a week or two comics, and like builds. But now you're in 1980.
And it's only going to be more as you go into the 90s and beyond.
Oh, boy. Which is great that you have a ton of great stuff to read. So I'm very excited for you.
Once you've gotten through all of it, I want to know what your favorite part was.
Oh, we got this email from Brian Anson, which says, Dear Twim, the Marvel Studios What If Zombies episode is freaking awesome. I need the zombie episodes to continue, and you can't end it until you've shown every character in the Marvel Universe. Love you, Brian in Ohio.
Oh, thanks. We love you too, Brian. Moving on, we have an email from Dylan Dussault, which said, I do not have Marvel Unlimited because I'm more of a hard copy guy to add to my collection, but I have bought some to read online here and there. but there are some issues. I'm dying to read like all of the classic Wolverine stuff and some other Daredevil issues here and there. I have not even read, though I mostly have. And of course, I would be able to stay up to date on all of the current runs. So I'm thinking to get Marvel Unlimited, but what do you guys think? Is it worth it? Yes, it is. I mean, that's the other thing. If you're a hard copy person, but you also have like beautiful, pristine copies that you keep in plastic and you don't want to dog ear the pages or potentially rip them or get them oily with your fingertips.
How oily are your fingers, Lorraine?
I moisturize. I have soft little writer hands. But my point being, you know, if you don't want to potentially damage your comics by handling them, I'm fully for loving your comics and experiencing them however you like. But if that is a concern for you, this is also a great way. And also if you have holes in your collection, this is like a great way that you can be like, oh, I don't have issue 36. I'm going to go read issue 36 online and then come back and read it the rest in hard copy.
It's also just a great supplement because buying comics is expensive. And maybe sometimes you want to try something before you read it. The way you can look at it is like you're getting a subscription to try something out. And if you like it, you can still go and buy a hard copy that you can have and own for yourself, which is something that I think Lorraine and I, we both still do. Mm-hmm. They sort of work together really well. And then there are times when, you know, you see something like a collection at a store or online, you're like, I don't know. I've never read it. Is it any good? Maybe, maybe not. You can go read an issue or the whole thing on MU and then be like, oh, I need to own this, which you can then do. Obviously, we think it's worth it. We are Marvel people. But as we've said before, we are only going to talk about the things that we're excited about and we friggin' love. We use MU daily, both of us. So
yeah. Honestly, I just love that there's so much stuff I never probably would have taken the time to read if I wouldn't have had Marvel Unlimited. You know, where it's so easy to access, where I could just sit down and be like, well, I'm reading this, but I'm just going to keep reading, you know, and I've found stuff that I absolutely have fallen madly in love with because of it. Mm-hmm. So I just think it's the best. And I know that I will always keep Marvel Unlimited just to read and catch up no matter where life takes me, because it's the best.
That's right. What's also the best? The show, which we're done with. This episode of This Week in Marvel is produced by Zachary Goldberg, Isabel Robertson, Lorraine Sink, and Ryan Penagos.
Our audio development manager is Brad Barton.
And Jill DeBoff is our director of audio.
And special thanks to Fing Fang Foom and Dr. Doom. Fing Fang Foom and Dr. Doom, the unlikely duo coming to your television set. Maybe never. I don't know. I'm not in charge. Fing Fang Foom and Dr. Doom. I don't know. It rhymes.
It sure does. I'm Ryan.
I'm Lorraine.
This is Marvel.
Your universe.